I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week I'm joined by makeup artist, TikTok star and alopecia warrior, Danny G. Hello babes and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you mate. I wanted to confess really early doors that when Elif, my producer, was like thinking about getting this makeup artist on, she's amazing, she's huge on TikTok, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I fucking know her. Like, I was scrolling through TikTok one day, probably late at night when I should have really been sleeping, and you popped up, and I watched your TikTok, and I was like, this bitch is fucking bad. Like, you, honestly, mate, like, you were answering somebody's question or something, so maybe it was like a, maybe it was an answer, I don't know, but honestly, and you were just being so sassy, and you were doing your makeup at the same time and everything, and I just thought, I love her.
Love that. Thank you. I also love the fact that we're both Geordies. So.
I know. Whereabouts are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Fenham.
Got loads of family over the West End. So yeah. I'm East End. So
oh, yeah. Okay.
Hopefully no beef, though. No beef.
Yeah.
Bless you, mate. So obviously I want to dive straight in for everybody who might not know your story. And ask a little bit about how your alopecia journey began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So right from the beginning we'll go from.
Yes, let's do it. Let's have story time.
So my alopecia started when I was around 1.5 years old. That was basically when the patches and stuff like that started. So I did have a little bit of hair when I was young, but like my hairline was really high at the back, and then there was a little 20 pence piece patch on the top of my head, and that's just how it started. And then over the years, it kind of just got worse and developed and more patches formed on my head. And there's no sort of rhyme or reason as to why it was happening. Obviously, I was so young. No one's that, like, a lot of the time they're related to stress, but I'm not stressed.
I was going to say, yeah, I would hate you to be stressed, like, you know, at that age. But it does, because, like, that is exactly what I think. I think somebody's had something traumatic happen to them, or there has been an element of stress or something. You know, like, postpartum situations and things. So, yeah, so it must have been, is that unusual for it to happen so young?
No, it can happen. Right. A lot of people also relate it to genetics. I do also have someone else in my family who has it. Okay. So genetics could be part of it, but it's definitely not like the full sort of reason as to why, because people get it for so many reasons. In my case, it could be the case, but we don't really know. And I think with us getting it so young, there wasn't really any specific reason as to why it would have happened. Yeah.
Is that frustrating for you, Danny, that there's not a reason, or have you really made your peace with it?
At this point, yeah, I've definitely made my peace with it. But I think over the years, especially when you're so young, it's come to, like, understand, like, why is it happening, and no one can tell you why. Same for, like, my parents as well, because at the end of the day, they're the ones having to take us to all these doctor's appointments, and they don't understand either, and they can't get answers. So that side of it was hard growing up, but now I'm just like, whatever. Don't care anymore.
No, but then I think, like, part of growing up is, you know, like, whatever your situation is being, is accepting who you are, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, it's totally different, but I've spent my whole life trying to, like, force my body to be something it didn't want to be, Danny. Like, you know, I honestly thought I would just be happy and all my problems would go away if I could just be skinny. you know? Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. the older I've got, the more I've realised, like, actually, like, I quite, like, the curves are me. It is who it is, you know, the wiggly butt, mm-hmm. the big boobs, whatever. And I kind of think that is one of the lovely things about growing up is mm-hmm. accepting exactly who you are with your, you know, your foibles and all of your
bits.
Yeah,
exactly. I think especially when you come into the influencing world as well, it's so easy to get absorbed into that and you want to look like everyone else. Oh. And I think I'm so well adapted to just being like, this is me. So, like, I'm not fully influenced into like fillers or whatever. Obviously you do whatever you want. Yeah. I don't care. But for me, I was kind of like strong in who I am now, so I'm not that bothered. Obviously if I want to change something I will, but I'm kind of who I am now and that's okay.
You're like one step ahead of the game essentially because when I first came to social media, I was in my 20s and I was sort of, I think, still struggling with my identity anyway. I was mm-hmm. on Jodie mm-hmm. Shaw, like, I was really misguided. I felt like the image of myself that was being put out there probably wasn't very accurate, and subsequently I had loads of identity problems. Anyway, you know, and then you go on social media and everyone's fucking perfect, aren't they? Or, yeah. you know, perfect. Yeah. And, yeah. like, I think you have to sort of like, you have to go through that, but it feels like you've got a bit of a head start. You mm-hmm. were learning to love yourself and your individuality and your uniqueness long before social media. So yeah, you're probably one step ahead of the curve there, girl.
Nailed it.
Smashed it. So I'm so sorry. So as you were growing up, it was obviously, you just got very young. I hope anything I'm asking is not insensitive or triggering for you.
Oh, no.
Good.
I'm an okay. open book, don't worry.
Good. I think the Geordies are quite honest, yeah. aren't
they? Yeah.
So when was it when you lost all of your hair?
It was around 14 or 15. So I had my eyebrows and eyelashes up until that point. Basically, I had patches to start on my head. Then it developed to total scalp loss, but I still had like body hair, eyebrows, eyelashes. And then at 14, 15, that's when I lost my eyebrows and eyelashes. So the type of alopecia I have now is the most severe, which is alopecia universalis, which is a mouthful, but it basically is just full body hair loss, which has its perks, but yeah. So yeah, no hair anywhere now.
Okay, well, first of all, the amount you must save on like waxing or epilators or laser or whatever is obviously a major plus. Yeah. But I still do think having all of that happen so young must have been a really difficult thing for you to go through.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I think, in all honesty, the hardest part was like my eyelashes and my facial hair. I don't know what, I know it sounds absolutely bizarre, yeah. but I think losing my hair, because I was so young, I didn't really, like, I grew up not knowing any different.
Yeah, sure.
So, for example, someone who did grow up with hair, they would probably find it a lot harder than I did because I was so young. I didn't understand. This was me. I was fine. I was brought up really well with it as well. I was like told to sort of and made to love myself, and I was fine to go out without a wig if I wanted to or go out with a wig if I wanted to. But I suppose when I started to lose my eyebrows and eyelashes, it was just such a key time as well, like 14, 15.
Oh, yeah, it's teenage. Mate, like, it's, you're so insecure. Anything, and like, I remember mm-hmm. everything would be embarrassing, you know? Like, even yeah. even if your mum, like, tried to, like, I don't know, like, talk to you somewhere, you'd be like, oh my God, you're yeah. so embarrassing. Everything was like a trigger. So mm-hmm. I can imagine that must, what a punch in the dick. That is a shit time for it, Dan.
It really was, yeah. Sorry, I think it was mate. Just like, because I feel like eyebrows and eyelashes really frame your face. And yeah. I don't know why, just at that point, I feel like that's what made us look like unhealthy, if that makes sense. And so many people started to think it was more of like an actual like serious illness rather than just like hair loss, if that makes sense.
No, I do get it. And like, it's exactly like you say, you'd not known any different with your hair, mm-hmm. but losing something, whenever you lose anything, there's an element of grief and you have to feel that. So, gosh, mm-hmm. You must be one tough cookie, Danny. Everything you went through so young. You are, aren't you? You're fucking hard as nails.
Well.
Well, I hate to brag, but... you sort of touched on it a little bit there, but you know, that age, like, kids can be torture. How did you find the reaction to your alopecia? Was the, especially, I mean, what? How long are we going back, Viv?
Well, I'm 25 now, so about 10 years ago.
I think now there's so much more, with the rise of social media and, you know, the desire for everybody to be sort of more progressive, more inclusive, just better human beings in general. Like, I think there was a lot more understanding around alopecia and everything these days. But back then, I imagine it was a different scenario.
Yeah, definitely. I think my mum, when I was really young, my mum and dad got, like, the brunt of it and people's reactions, and a lot of people would actually ask if I had cancer, and like, when would I know?
I just don't think that's ever okay to ask.
I know.
Some people aren't well, mate, ironically.
I know. But yeah, that was the hardest bit, is people like assuming that I was really unwell in that sort of way. To be honest, school years and stuff weren't that bad. Like, I've never really been bullied or anything like that, which is good. But I think a lot of it came down to the school I was at, and I had a really good friendship group and a good support network at home anyway. And I feel like, because I went to an all-girls school as well, so I think that helped, because I don't know, I think, yeah, I feel like a mixed school, it might have been a little bit different. I don't know why, but I just do.
14-year-old boys are terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, even to this day, like, if I'm out and about and I'm doing content, or like, even if I'm just like out and about, mate, like, in general, and there's a group of school lads, or like, you know, lads in tracksuits and that, and I know they're about 14, 15, I get fucking terrified.
Yeah.
they're just intimidating. Actually, that age girls intimidate us as well. I'm becoming weak in my old age and very soft. But no, that's really good. Yeah, so even though it was a very difficult process, the reaction predominantly, I suppose, from your friends and things were quite supportive, quite positive.
Yeah, definitely. I think the worst reactions I've had is social media and online.
Fuck me. Well, that's because it's anonymous and people are hiding. People are very brave when they can't get caught out, aren't they?
Exactly. Exactly.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Obviously, you're using your platform to do incredible things, and we will talk about that in a bit. But I wanted to ask if there's anybody listening to this who is experiencing hair loss, alopecia, anybody whose child or children are going through the similar things. I wondered if you had any advice. Is there anything that set you in really good stead? Anything you did to make you feel better?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're a parent and your child is going through hair loss, definitely you're doing fine, you're doing okay. The answers aren't there, so don't worry if you can't really find them. I would definitely just say remind your child that they are beautiful. Either way, that's exactly how I was brought up, and that's why I am so confident now, because of what's been instilled in us from such a young age. But I think if you are someone experiencing the hair loss, again, I would definitely just say take each day as it comes. Not every day is going to be perfect. Some days you'll feel amazing, some days you'll feel awful. And I would definitely say just be kind to yourself and listen to yourself, and definitely also just push yourself as well. I find as soon as you take the leap to just not caring what other people think or supposedly think. Because at the end of the day, a lot of people don't actually care that much. It's mostly yourself that is the biggest battle. So I think as soon as you overcome that and you just start doing things and not letting hair loss stop you doing your daily life or living your life, then as soon as you take control, basically, that's when you really see the positive side of it and you'll blossom.
And I suppose, like, letting go of those, like, feelings of, you know, worrying what other people think or inadequacy or whatever it is, that must be really liberating.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I can't really remember for me when the point was, if that makes sense, because I've always sort of been transitioning to this. But I've seen, through social media, I have seen so many girls who have hair loss and they've just totally done a transformation from when I first seen them on social media to now. It's like two different people, and it's just insane to see like that transformation and like just not giving a shite what people think, basically. It's great.
It is good. No, it is. And like, we could all stand to be a little bit more like that, because like, the weight of other people's opinions will stop you doing so much, and it will crush you, and it will keep you small, and all these things. Like, once you let go of that and just start living the life you deserve, like, everything's fantastic, isn't it?
Exactly. It's like, why do you care what they think? Like, for what? Like, this is your life, so stop it.
Just stop. Mate, you are a Geordie lass, as we've mentioned, and obviously you do love makeup and glam and all. I feel like I went to uni in Liverpool, which is obviously glam, like rollers in your hair in lunchtime so your hair looks good on the nighttime type thing. But yeah, I feel like the Geordies and the Scousers, like, they're very similar in that sense. And like, I learnt that in sort of Newcastle and then went and honed it all in Liverpool. Why do you think lasses in the north, and particular Newcastle, are so into their glam?
Oh, I don't know, you know. I think it's the Geordie lifestyle, isn't it? You know, like the nights out and just the north. Like, people will go out with the tiniest little dresses on, and it's all for beauty. It's all for fashion.
Yeah.
Beauty over pain, 100%. Like, there's so many heels and stuff that I've got that I can't walk in at all, but I'll still go out in them because they look good.
Still give it a go, yeah. I've lived down south for almost 10 years now, and my mates always joke when I go back up north, like, and I put me coat on and that on the nights out, and they're like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? And when we were younger, Dad, we used to say, like, this is really bad, but we used to say coats are for cunts, and we'd never wear a coat on the lash. And then now, obviously, I've lived down here for 10 years and I'm just an old fanny, and I'll like come up with my big duffel and they're like, you best fucking get that off. Like, the messages once I hit like Yorkshire and they're like, right, it's time, take it off.
Yeah.
I do think like so much of Geordie life and like life from the northeast in general, like, revolves around going out and getting pissed and having a good time and all that. Like, the glam sort of feeds into that, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, I've never been a one to go out loads, but I'm definitely here for the glam of it. I love like getting dressed up and just being that full glam, and I'll even just sit in the house with it on. Like, why not?
Why not? You know what, babe? As long as you're feeling good, it does not matter where you are. Did you train to be a makeup artist, or is it like a self-taught vibe?
All self-taught.
No.
Yeah, yeah. No. I think it is because of like my alopecia, to be fair. Just because I had to learn how to do my eyebrows once I lost them, and I had to learn how to fill in like a little patch, and same with my lashes. When my lashes started to go, I had to learn how to put lashes on and stuff like that, and liner, and that's where it all started, to be honest. So I've just had to teach myself.
Do you know what, mate? I didn't think of that, but that's actually like a really interesting way of looking at it. Like, and I can't, right, I don't know if you can tell, like, I had a last-minute panic before you came on because my skin's terrible at the minute. I think it's the cold, like, my lips are dead red. And and I was like, oh, Elith, my producer, I was like, I look like a bag of shit, my skin's terrible. And then I panicked because I was like, she's a fucking makeup artist. Like, I'm going to have to do something. So I literally just quickly lashed some, like, BB cream on my face because I'm terrible at makeup, mate. I'm really bad. And I've always have been. I'm lucky enough now that if I'm going somewhere important, I can get a professional. But, yeah, across the board, I'm a bit shite. And, like, I look at you and I think, do you have to draw each of those eyebrow things on individually, Dan? Because, honestly, mate, that's really impressive.
I used to. That was definitely the way how it used to be. Uh-huh. But I feel like it's came a long way now. And there is solutions and stuff out there for people who have alopecia. So what I'm wearing at the minute is an eyebrow transfer. So, you know, like a water tattoo that you would like adhere to your skin
when you
with
used to get
water.
Them, when you get them when you were little and like be like, Mom, look.
I've got them eyebrows.
Oh my
how
God.
Insane.
So, right, they literally just go on exactly the same way as those little...
Yeah.
And then do you colour them in a bit, Dan? Because they look amazing.
Sometimes, yeah. Just to get them nice and full. But
So impressive. Okay, then. And then talk to me about the eyelashes, then. Because they look amazing as well. You've got a strip on, surely.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, go on, girl.
Yeah, so lashes, I feel like a lot of people with hair loss actually struggle with lashes. And so many people think you've got to have lashes to wear lashes, which maybe has been a thing until sort of influencers and people who do makeup who have no hair have shown them. Actually, no. So I don't actually have any lashes at all. And I use the ones that I've got on a day are just from Primark, to be honest. And they're just so nice.
Good old Primarni.
Yeah. And I think if you get like a nice natural lash and you put some mascara over the natural lash, it looks like a pair of like someone's natural lashes with mascara on, if that makes sense.
Well, they look like perfect. Like if you didn't tell me they weren't yours, I wouldn't know at all.
Yeah. I've got a knack for it now.
I've got
used to it. Yeah.
You've definitely perfected this art form, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got there. It's taken many years, honestly. I've been through the stages of like these big block awful brows, but I feel like everyone has, hasn't they?
Oh my God, mate, if I look back at some of my makeup disasters, like we had a phase, and you'll understand this because you're into makeup, but me and me girls, we had this phase where like we just used to be as dark as we possibly could be, so like your caramel matte mousse thing from Rimmel, you know, a dream matte mousse, that was it. So you want to be as dark as you possibly could be with that. And then also you want like bright pink cheeks, so like Dolly Mix from MAC.
Mm-hmm.
And then big thick eyelashes, but like absolutely no eyebrows.
Yeah.
We just didn't bother with it. No. So I look back at pictures and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what? And like I'm bombing around Revolution and Madame Coos thinking I was the duck's nuts, but actually I just look like, I don't know, like a bit of an egg. Like I just don't look cool at all. But then I suppose that's the evolution of these things, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even just looking at the evolution of like brows itself, it went from the no thin brows overplucked to the big block brows, like absolute Sharpie brows. And now it's went into this like laminated brow thing. But now I feel like we're going into the like the fluffy phase. So, yeah,
it's
a whole transition.
I do. Maybe it's. I do love the fluffy phase, I think.
Just me too, yeah.
If I had to pick, I think I'm a fluffy girl at heart.
Me too, yeah.
It's really interesting though, because obviously you have this huge platform both across Instagram and TikTok, so social media in general. You're killing it, girl. But I wondered, has the goal always been to spread awareness and help people going through similar things? Or was it to talk about your makeup? Or was it just you being you? Like, was there all... Because obviously it's became loads of these things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the intent behind it initially?
So at the start, it was just because I like to do makeup.
Yeah.
There was never really the intention to be where I am now, or there was no, like, career goal or anything in it. It was literally just because I like doing my makeup. Lots of people compliment me on my makeup, so I'm just going to put it out there. And I actually started on Insta. I created a page and I was just, right, I'm just going to post my makeup tutorials. And, you know, it was so hard at first because you just feel embarrassed to post and be like, oh, God, people in school are going to see this and stuff like that. But I just posted it and then I've never really looked back since. Absolutely loved it, and just it kind of just grew from there. And It just went into this whole awareness thing and awareness side of it. I think because so many people
were asking questions.
They were curious about it, and they were so like, what's the word? They were like intrigued that I was able to just go on camera and be so confident without hair.
Yeah.
And I think that shocked a lot of people. And then that encouraged a lot of people to like reach out to us and be like, oh my God, I'm so glad to find someone who looks like me. And that's when I started to like feed that how important what I am doing, like how important it is to people.
Yeah.
No, and just the purpose with it as well.
Absolutely. Like visibility, regardless of, you know, whether it's about sexuality, whether it's about hair loss, whether it's about like the color of your skin, whatever it is, representation, visibility fucking matters. And like, mm-hmm. it's so important to be able to just like log on to social media and see someone who looks like you having mm-hmm. a nice time and killing it. Because yeah. we all have those days where we don't feel great, we don't feel like ourselves. And it's lovely to see somebody else living their best life and picking you mm-hmm. up when you do feel a bit down.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I always suggest that people who are struggling with hair loss, I'm like, well, fill your feed with people who look like you. If you go on Instagram and you're seeing this girl with beautiful long hair, that's never going to be you. So yeah. fill it with people who look like you and who are going to uplift you, because then you don't feel alone. That was the biggest thing as well. Like, growing up, I never knew anyone with hair loss until I came onto social media. Yeah. So it just shows you how, it just opened my eyes how many people do actually suffer with it. And that's kind of why I do everything I do now.
Yeah, and that is such good advice, Dan. Like, I actually think I should take some of that advice as well. Like, every mm-hmm. so often I do have a bit of a cull on social media because I think, what the fuck is, what value is this person bringing to your life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do you just look at their account and feel shit because yeah. you don't have three kids? Like, this person, say, for example, this person's my age, and you don't have three kids who are all dressed perfectly, and you don't have this, like, massive, great, big house, and mm-hmm. you don't have, you know, whatever it is, you know, they got the job mm-hmm. I didn't get. Why are you following them? And every so often, I have a little cull because I think, this isn't good for your mental health.
Exactly.
And I try to find people who, like, show, like, that bodies move and, you know, that mm-hmm. sometimes they squish. And, like, people like yourself who are just, like, motivational and inspirational and different and, like, I don't know, like, I love strong women, basically. I'm a bit obsessed. Yeah. So, yeah, so I try to have stuff like that. But it is hard because there's so much of that, mm-hmm. of those seemingly perfect influencers and accounts, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I know. And I think it is just about doing that little detox for yourself and just making sure that you stay sane in yourself. Like you yeah. said, it's for your mental health and just putting yourself first and see what you want to see. If your feed's filled with things that you want to see, then you're going to have a good day.
I feel like if I could control exactly what my feed was, it would just be puppies and pancakes, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm here for that.
Honestly, babe, I've had such a nice time chatting to you in part one. I have so much more goss I want to get off you in part two.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.